Gracious and loving Father, we humbly and reverently approach Thee this evening, O God, in the precious name of Your Son, Jesus Christ. And believing that You are the same yesterday, today, and forever, believing that You came down with a shout, believing that You came down with a purpose to gather together Your elect from the four corners of the earth, we humbly, O God, surrender ourselves to that shout, to that great message, knowing that we receive our transformation by the renewing of the mind. Therefore, Father, we come subject to Thy mind. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. This evening we're going to pick up at paragraph 46 of the token, and Brother Branham said there's only one thing that I'm responsible, is to preach it. It's God's business to look out for that predestinated seed. There's going to be there, all right, all because they're going to be there, each one of them, one with the other, the water age, the blood age, and now the token age of the Holy Ghost. So Brother Branham is saying, look, it's not my responsibility as a preacher to do anything but to let you know what God wants to be said. It's up to you to step into it and to manifest that word. And remember, Israel came through many things, but it was evening time when the token was required, not in the morning, not in the preparation of the 14 days of the keeping up of the Lamb. In other words, not through the seven church ages. Israel knew something was coming, so did Luther know it, so did Wesley know it, so did Finney and Knox and Calvin know it. But this is it. They knew there would come a time that the pillar of fire would return back to the church. They knew there'd come a time that these things would happen, but they didn't live to see it. But they looked forward to it. Israel knew something was coming, but it was in the evening time when that lamb's blood, the token, was placed upon the door. Yet the lamb was already put up. In other words, the lamb had been prepared 14 days earlier. It's been the lamb all the way through. It was the lamb in Luther's time. It was the lamb in Wesley's time. But now is the token time, that each house must be covered by the token. Each house of God must be covered by the token. All that's inside of it must be covered by the token. So not only your house, but this house of God. And the house of God is the body of Jesus Christ. And by one Spirit, we're all baptized into this token and become part of it. That God said, when I see the token displayed, I pass over you. Not when I hear you talk about it, but when I see it displayed. What an hour that we're now living in. Oh, a blood identified the believer. Because that the life had gone out and it could not come back. So he had to have a chemistry. He had to have it like a paint, a blood, a chemistry. That showed that the light went from it. In other words, it looked like paint on the walls. But it was something that marked the house as being different from the rest of Egypt that was receiving the plagues. He had to have it like a paint, a blood, a chemistry that showed that the light went from it. Now the very Spirit itself is the token. Now, see, the Holy Spirit itself is the token, not the blood. The blood was shed at Calvary, that is true. But the blood, as far as it is, went back into the elements from which it came, from the food that he lived on. But you see, inside that blood cell was a life that started the blood cell to moving. And if it wasn't, the chemistry had no life in it itself. And therefore, it could not move. But when the life come into the chemistry of the blood, it formed a cell. It formed its own cell, then cell after cell. And it became a man, and that man was God Emmanuel in flesh. But when the life returned back to the chemistry, went to it. But the token is the Holy Ghost upon the church that they see Christ. Now when Brother Bell preached this series on the token, he showed us the difference between a token and the token. Now a token being the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and the token being God Himself who is the Holy Ghost. He also used other words like baptism versus the baptizer himself. And somehow I think some didn't catch what he was teaching, because they placed the emphasis correctly on the Holy Ghost himself coming down in our midst, which is the Parousia presence, but they de-emphasized what made a way for that to happen. In other words, we've got the, you know, we got the great one, the great, the Holy Ghost is here. Who cares about the baptism? Now, they didn't say that, and they're not saying that, but it comes out in the fact that they don't say it. They don't say anything about the baptism. All right? Now, from the masterpiece, and I just like, we're all familiar with the quote from Brother Branham. And from the masterpiece, he said, notice here, the life that was in the husk, in the stalk, in the castle, in the husk, all gathers in the seed. Notice he's talking about the same life, the same Holy Ghost life. It all goes all the way from the church ages, from the beginning to the end. It's the same Holy Ghost life. All right? And then he says, and the life that was in the stalk went, one went to make the other. Justification made a way for sanctification. Sanctification made a way for the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And the baptism of the Holy Ghost made a way for the Holy Ghost itself to come right down in perfection back to the Word again to manifest itself. Now, he didn't say the Holy Ghost himself did away with the baptism. And the baptism did away with sanctification. And sanctification did away with justification. And yet, that's the way it's being taught. Notice he's telling us that the life, the very same life of Christ that entered the people on the day of Pentecost, stayed in the church all the way through, and that life of Christ that was in the church made a way for Luther's message of justification. In other words, it prepared the ground to receive the seed doctrine of justification. And Luther's message of justification made a way or prepared the ground for Wesley's teaching the doctrine of sanctification to be shown. Notice it's always been doctrine. Luther was justification. Wesley was sanctification. Right? And Wesley's doctrine of sanctification made a way or prepared the ground for the doctrine of the baptism of the Holy Ghost and the restoration of the Word of God to be taught. So one doctrine prepared a way for another doctrine, always through. Justification was a doctrine. It prepared the way for sanctification, which was a doctrine and a life lived. And sanctification, which was a doctrine and a life lived, made a way for the Holy Ghost, because God would never put His Holy Ghost in an unholy vessel. You see? So you see, every move of God came about from a teaching a certain doctrine for that age or for that time. And that is why those who teach the doctrine that it's not important do not understand that there never was a move of God outside of a doctrine being taught. When Jesus came, it says He went to His own home and He couldn't do many miracles because of their unbelief. So He reverted to teaching. That's what He did. Now, remember, the prophet messenger to the Pentecostals was William Branham. This is the age where the God life is now fully sown into the people by the unadulterated Word of God, or doctrine that was taught by the Son of Man ministry. And the doctrine and acceptance of the doctrine of the baptism of the Holy Ghost is what prepared the people for the person of the Holy Ghost to come down, which is the presence of God Himself. We see this in 1 Thessalonians 4:13 to 18. Paul says, I would not have you be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them which also sleep in Jesus will God bring with Himself. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the parousia of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore comfort one another with these words. Now, I could go into something here, and I'll maybe do it in private. Just don't want to start fusses. But Paul says here is exactly what Brother Branham was saying in the quote from the masterpiece. But as always, we must read all the quote to fully understand what he is saying. So let's just read what Brother Branham continued to say. He said, but what denominates it dies? Like life in Luther went to make Wesley, and from Wesley it went to make Pentecost, and from Pentecost to make the original seed. I remember the spoken word is the original seed. That's the voice of God. Pentecost comes out of the Wesley until that time. The reason that Pentecost come out of Wesley is because it was no denomination. Pentecost was. Then Pentecost went to denomination, and what did it do? It turned to the husk. It looked like the real thing. And anybody, and well, what I'm trying to say is this. Brother Branham never said justification was done away with when sanctification came. And sanctification was done away with when the baptism of the Holy Ghost came. And the baptism of the Holy Ghost was done away with when the Holy Ghost came and himself came down in perfection. But that is the way that men have interpreted Brother Branham's words when he said justification made a way for sanctification. And sanctification made a way for the baptism. And the baptism of the Holy Ghost made a way for the Holy Ghost himself. He's not saying did away with, he's saying made a way for. In other words, without justification, you wouldn't have sanctification. Without sanctification, you wouldn't have the baptism. And without the baptism, you would not have recognized the baptizer himself when he's come. Now, making a way for is not doing away with. I know Brother Bram's illustration may look like it because he speaks of the stalk, the castle, and the husk. But those are just the stages of life that went through to come up to the perfect or to the grain seed again. But he's also talking about the Christ life that produces those stages in the church, and each stage was just a period of growth coming up to perfection. In other words, the same life that produced justification, the doctrine of justification, is the same Holy Ghost life that produced sanctification, is the same Holy Ghost life that produced the baptism, is the same Holy Ghost life that made people aware of his presence coming down. Now, it does not do away with the life that was in justification. It does not do away with the life that was in sanctification. And it does not do away with the life that was in the baptism of the Holy Ghost. No, sir, not at all. It's like when you're born again, you're born into the family. You're a son. But you must be the right kind of a son to come to adoption. And justification was a growing into a certain knowledge that led to a sanctified life. And that sanctified life brought you into the very presence of Christ to where he was not afraid to call you brethren and come in and make his abode in you. So when we talk about each stage making a way, we're talking about the necessity of each stage to get you to the next stage. We don't look back on these stages and say they're no longer necessary. We look upon them with an understanding that if it were not for them, we would not be where we are now. Now, Brother Brown continues in his sermon masterpiece, paragraph 83, says, how many ever seen a seed wheat, start to grow? Now, listen carefully. He's talking about stages of life here. What's the first little thing? It's just exactly like the seed, but it's the husk. See, the three stages, stalk, tassel, or the pollen, then the husk. And then out of the husk comes the original seed, not a seed. It was the life of the seed growing through this to come to the seed. Amen. Amen. Do you see it? What is it? A resurrection coming back to the masterpiece again, like the one that went in. Pentecost come out of the Wesley because Wesley was an organization. Pentecost come out as no organization and then turned to one. It had to make the husk. The true word of life on it was on its way then to the original grain through these stages. Through the stalk, then into the pollen, from the pollen into the husk, and from the husk it made seed. Stalk, tassel, and husk. Living, they produced in their early revival a holder of a certain portion of the seed life. But when they organized, the life moved out of it. That's proved by all of history. Never an organization ever done a thing after it organized. It was dead. That's right. Now watch. The life's traveling on now. It's moving on. Notice. What they have done, all these have done, is proved by history just exactly the way the church has come, never to be useful to him again. He's not saying justification is no longer useful. He's not saying sanctification, but he's saying that church that organized around that specific doctrine. You see, God, justification was evident. I mean, it was God's doctrine for the hour in Luther's day. The doctrine itself gathered the people to the Word. So, in essence, it was a move of the Holy Ghost in the doctrine. The people recognized the move of the Holy Ghost through the doctrine, and they came to the doctrine. And then men got a little bit fearful, and they thought, how can we hold on to this great move? How can we hold on to this great, this moving of the Spirit? And so we're going to organize around it. As soon as they moved toward organization, God left it and kept moving on. They stopped, God kept moving. All right? Then that same Holy Ghost life that was there through the movement of justification, the doctrine, moved into another doctrine, which was sanctification, a further understanding of how we must be to be in the presence of God. It's all working up to the presence of God coming down, you see. So that movement of doctrine, or that movement by the doctrine, around the doctrine, was a move of the Holy Ghost. But then men got a little fearful. How are we going to hold on to this thing? How are we going to keep that move of God alive? How are we going to... And so they began to organize. See, then God left them again. And then men begin to see that, look, it's not only sanctified life, but it's a life that's totally dead, totally committed, totally given over to God. And therefore, then God began to move in the doctrine of the baptism of the Holy Ghost, showing that you've got to die first in these things. And men begin to organize around that. You see, while it was coming forth in 1906 at Azusa Street and these things, men were coming around a doctrine. Brother Brown came on the scene teaching the same thing. And men began to organize. They saw this great movement of God. How can we nail it down? Well, let's just say you got to speak in tongues to get it. How can we make it easy for people to understand so that they can get it? See, because this is doctrine. This is here. How can we do it? And so they begin to organize. They begin to teach their little isms and attitude. And what did God do? He just said, forget it. And he left. Pentecost died. And then God himself came down. Because there's always a little remnant that was that living word of God coming up through everyone. So he says, and it's moving on. Now notice. What they have done, all these have done, it proved it by history, just exactly the way the church has come, never to be useful to him again. Now, he's not talking about the portion of the life is never useful to God again. He's talking about that organizational life that organizes itself by to the knowledge of the doctrinal teaching. Justification was a move of the Holy Spirit, but men organized it, and it died right there. Sanctification was a move of the same Holy Spirit, but men saw the light and organized around that light, and because they put their own two cents into it and organized around it, it died, and the life kept moving on up. Then men began to teach the doctrine of the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and it was a move of God, but when men began to organize this experience and make it a doctrine, it was a doctrine, but they began to make that, you know, it was also an experience, but they began to make it just focus on the doctrine, and that's when it left. Notice justification was a move of the Holy Ghost through Luther, but it came in the form of a doctrine, and it set men free from the restrictions of Nicolaitanism. However, once free, it digressed into doctrine only, and when men organized around doctrine only, the Holy Ghost moved on. Then Wesley went out preaching works. But he never had any success. And one day, coming home from America, where his mission trip was a total failure, he met a believer who invited him to Aldersgate, where he heard Martin Luther's teaching on justification, and so stirred his soul that he began to teach the doctrine of sanctification. It too set men free from the form of godliness, but was in the church that was in the churches. But because it was a move of the Holy Spirit, there was power in that word as it went forth. Then the men around Wesley began to organize around the doctrine only, and the Holy Spirit left them. It wasn't Wesley that organized around the doctrine, it was those who followed him. From the Church Age book, Brother Brown said, Philadelphia Church Age, Wesley was not in favor of organization. His associates did have a united society, who were a company of men having the form and seeking the power of godliness, united in order to pray together, to receive the word of exhortation, and to watch over one another in love, that they may help each other to work out their salvation. The only condition of those entering was that they should be of those who had a desire to flee from the wrath to come and to be saved from their sins. As time went on, they worked out a strict set of rules to be used in self-discipline for the good of their souls. Wesley recognized that after his death, the movement could be organized and the Spirit of God leave them to dead form. He once remarked that he did not fear that the name of Methodist would leave the earth, but that the Spirit might take its flight. And it's interesting today because the Methodist Church was the first ones to take he or any references, masculine references of God out of their songbooks and everything else. They also have homosexual ministers. In fact, at one of the Methodist universities, one of their leading instructors is a homosexual. Then as the light of God moved on, men who believed in justification by faith and led a sanctified life began to be moved by the Holy Ghost and began to teach an infilling of the Spirit was necessary, and many people began to follow the doctrine of the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and for a while, like before, men were set free from the forms of godliness that was in the church. But always when the church held to the form of godliness but denied the power thereof, that is when the Holy Ghost, who is the power thereof, moves away from that movement. When men walked in the light as he, Christ, was walking in the light, they were in the movement of God. But when men began to stop and organize around what doctrine they saw in the light, they stopped walking to organize, and God kept moving on. That is why Brother Rand continued to say, watch, the light's traveling on now, it's moving on. Notice what they have done. All these have done is proved by history just exactly the way the church has come, never to be useful to him again. Organization is laid on the shelf. There never has been in all the history of the church after it's organized, but what it died. And the organization died and never did rise again. It can't, you see. So once men begin to focus only on the doctrine and not the power that goes along with the doctrine, that's when they're gone. Now, what's he talking about? What organized? The church organized. And how did it organize? What did it organize around? Doctrine. It organized around the very doctrine that God led them by. Now think about that. The very doctrine that God led them by, that caused a great stir among them, is the very doctrine that now their life is gone from. Now, not the doctrine itself, but what they've done with it by organizing it. The very doctrine that proved they were walking with the pillar of fire is the very doctrine they organized around it, and God left them because of it. From the Church Age book, Ephesian Church Age, page 64. But as usual, people don't take heed to God's warning. That revival fire built upon the sacred word is so wonderful, and the manifestation of the Spirit is so blessed, that a little fear creeps in. And a whisper in the heart says, how can we protect this truth that we have? What can we do to see that this revival goes on? That is when the Antichrist spirit comes in and whispers, look, you have the truth now. See that it doesn't get lost. Organize and set up your creed of what you believe. Put it all in the church manual, and they do it, and they organize, and they add to the word, and they die just like Eve did for taking one wrong word. It's God's word that brings life, and it's not what we say about the word that counts, it's what God said. But do you think men ever learn? Brother Brown came with a message, and in that message was life. But men organized into various camps and died right there, but the light moves on. Brother Vail came along, he saw men organizing this message, and he fled the ministerial circles just as fast as he could. And when he did, he began to show the people what had actually happened in this hour with God coming down. And so he took the message back to the Word, and when he did, listen, there was a great revival around that ministry. But when Brother Vail went off the scene, we all know what happened. A little fear crept in. That's from the Church Age book. And a whisper in the heart says, how can we protect this truth that we have? What can we do to see this revival goes on? And that is when the Antichrist spirit came in and whispered, look, you have the truth now. You have the right teaching. You have the right doctrine. See that it doesn't get lost. Organize and set up your creed of what you believe, like two lords, like two souls. You can't find those things in the scripture. But men organize around their little isms. They add to the word, and they die just like Eve did for taking one wrong word. It's God's word that brings life, and it's not what we say about the word that counts, but it's what God said. Remember, the bride will have thus saith the Lord, or she's going to keep still. She's only going to say what the Lord has already said thus. She's not going to add to it. Now, what I'm saying to you is what happens when men, through fear, try to organize around a Bible truth. They end up taking things which are not biblical to prove their doctrine, and they die right there. Show me two lords in the scriptures. Show me two souls in the scriptures. You can't find it. In fact, I can show you where Moses, Jesus, Paul, William Branham, they all preached against two lords and three lords and four lords. They preached one Lord. Now, Brother Branham continues in the masterpiece. He said, men who are blind, open your eyes. Nature and the Word coordinating together and proving it right here that this is the truth, that it is the truth. that life leaves a stalk to make the tassel. From the tassel, it makes the husk. It what? The life makes the husk. And from the husk, it what? The life goes into the original again. Notice, never again to be useful to him. In other words, the phase and that doctrinal supposition or that doctrinal organization. At one time, it was wonderful to see the move of God around a specific doctrine. But when men formulated around that and said, you got this, and that's it. God said, that ain't it. And he moves on. And that thing that protected the true move of God is left in the dust. How noticeable this life is in its travel, is in its travel in the corn of wheat than it is in the tree. In other words, Brother Brown is saying, God called his people like a tree. See, the life goes down in the tree, comes back up again. Goes down, comes back up again. See, it goes down, comes back up again. But in the corn of wheat, it goes from the original stalk through the stalk, tassel, and husk. And the thing that is passed through, it dies, so it can't get back through it again. What is it? It's no use anymore. It goes on to its perfection. Amen. Don't you see why he never used an organization? He can't get back in it again. It's dead. But the life passes from one to the other. See, they put creeds and inject. Whosoever shall add one word or take one word. See, he's blocked off from it. It must be the life seed traveling on. That's why I said, going back to 2011, I made the statement when I come across John 14:12, where Brother Brown said, I'm going to prove whether you are a believer or not, and then he quotes John 14:12. That's why I said, if our doctrine, if that quote does not fit our doctrine's wrong. If any quote, any scripture does not fit our doctrine, we've got to rethink the doctrine, because we've got it wrong.
True.
We've got to keep moving on with the pillar of fire as he moves. Now, I'm using this in a parable, Brother Brown says, now of the bride, the masterpiece that's coming forth. There's a masterpiece fell, there's a masterpiece rising. The masterpiece fell at Nicaea, Rome, after Nicaea, Rome. She's come through the process. Now, let me just go back, because I just want to make clarification here. Brother Brown says, God likens us as individuals to trees. The life comes up, goes down, comes up, goes down. But he said, he likens the wheat like the church or the organization called church. And as the light passes through, it's good for that moment. But then as the light keeps moving up the stalk into the tassel, this down here is no more useful. It moves up into the tassel, it's now the move of God. The light, see, the people are coming to that light. That doctrine is coming alive. As soon as that doctrine no longer come alive, what happens? It moves on, and they just formulate around that. You see? So it dies off. Now he says, I'm using this in parable now for the bride. The masterpiece is coming forth. There's a masterpiece fell. There's a masterpiece rising. The masterpiece fell at Nicaea, Rome. After Nicaea, Rome, she's come through a process, but she's coming right back again to that masterpiece perfected. Because she's a part of the word that was spoken by him. We'll have a church without spot or wrinkle. Or he'll have a church without spot or wrinkle. It'll not be connected anyway with any kind of an organization or a denomination, the cursed thing. It's passed through such things, but it'll never be there. Notice, the seed is coming up. That life is coming up, not going back. There'll be no more resurrection after this. The life is coming up to go to its perfection, a resurrection. Now notice, the husk put forth. Notice the husk puts the original seed out of itself. In Revelation, the third chapter, we find this. Now remember, no other church was he put out of in the Bible of the seven church ages. How many remembers it? He passed through the church ages to go on to make something else. But this is it. There's nothing else. Now in closing, let's go back to the token and read from paragraph 50. He said it has to be because a woman and her husband become one. They become one, and so does the bride and Christ become one. The ministry of the bride and the ministry of Christ is the same. Now, if you remember, these former treatises, O Theophilus, have I wrote to you, that Jesus began to do and continues to do. His death didn't stop him. No, sir. He returned again, not a third person, but the same person returned back in the form of the Holy Ghost, and it continues to work on and continues on, said the book of Acts. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. That's the token. That's the sign. When Peter and John passed through the gate called Beautiful, there laid a man who had been crippled, lame from his mother's womb, and he said, "Silver and gold have I none." Peter said this, "But such as I have, I give to you." Such as I have, I give to you. "In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." See? And they talked to them and knew that they were ignorant and unlearned men, but they taken notice to them that they had been with Jesus. See, the token there was on display. See, "Such as I have, seeing a poor fallen brother laying there, crippled and disfigured and everything, and the same life that was in Christ was in them. Such as I have, in my name, you shall cast out devils. Not I will, you will. If you say to this mountain, not if I say, if you say to this mountain, O brother, the hour that the token to be displayed is at hand." We can see it. We know that we're near the end now for all kinds of messages up to show the signs and wonders. And now here we come back for what the church has got to do. The token's got to be displayed. "When I see the blood, I will pass over you." Nothing else would work. It must be the blood. Now, the Holy Ghost is our token from God. As a great theologian, a scholar, a Baptist brother, fine man, fine character, when he come to me one time and he said, "Brother Branham," he said, you're talking about this Holy Ghost." And he said, "Why, that's nothing new." He said, "We taught it all along through the ages." And I said, and he said, "Well, we received the Holy Ghost." And I said, "When did you receive it?" And he said, "When I believed." Because I knew that was the Baptist theology, that when you believe, you receive the Holy Ghost. And I said, "Then Paul said in Acts 19 to a group of Baptists with a Baptist preacher that had been one of John's converts, was proving by the Bible that Jesus was the Christ. And when he had passed through the upper coast of Ephesus, he found a certain disciple, and he said unto him, 'Have you received the Holy Ghost since you have believed?' And they said, 'We know not whether there be any Holy Ghost.' Well, then you don't got it. You don't even know about it. Then he answered, 'How was he baptized?' And they hadn't been baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, the sanctified Lamb. They wasn't identified with him at all. They just believed it, like the medicine sitting there and hadn't took it. Paul commanded them to be baptized over again in the name of Jesus Christ. And when he did this, then the token come upon them. They were identified by the works and signs of the Holy Ghost, speaking in tongues through them and prophesying and magnifying God. They were identified as their sacrifice, and the Holy Ghost is our identification. It's what identifies us as Christians, not our membership in churches, not our understanding of the Bible, not how much you know about the Bible. It's how much you know about the author. See? Or how much the author is living in you. And that's the key. How much is the author himself living in you? Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, we thank you for your word, Lord. It's been kind of a hard to follow subject, oh God, because it's fairly deep. But Lord, to understand that it's your doctrine, Father, when you came forth with the doctrine through a ministry, and you anointed that ministry with signs and wonders, and the people saw the signs and wonders, they saw the dynamics with the mechanics, with the doctrine, and they clang to the doctrine. But then they begin to dry up, and they begin to focus only upon the doctrine, and they had the form of godliness, but they denied the power thereof. And then you left them, and you moved on, and you begin to bring more doctrine, and people then begin to see that sanctification. They begin to see how that there was a life around it. There was a dynamics that was associated with that ministry. And the people came, and they came and they saw the doctrine, the teaching, and so they clung around to the doctrine. And they themselves could not produce the dynamics because their minds was only focused on the intellect, on the doctrine. And so then you left them, and you moved on. And we see it time and time and time again. Father, help us to never, ever, ever let go of your presence, let go of your power, and only be focused on doctrine. But may we understand that doctrine is essential.
but the life is more essential. And may our focus be upon you, who are the doctrine. And as you move up, and as you move, and as you're walking in the light, as you are in the light, may we be so focused on you that no matter what justification, sanctification, baptism of the Holy Ghost will pass through every one of them and will continue with you up through the resurrection, up through that Roman candle that one light comes out of another, out of another, out of another, up through that seventh seal until we're in your divine presence totally. Father, be with us and help us, O God, to prepare for the going home. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
I left it off the whole time?
I'm sorry.
Well, here, I'll turn it on. You can get a quick look. Okay. I'm sorry. You should have said something. Sometimes you do. You know, you say, look it up there. Okay.
All right. Well, the Lord bless thee and keep thee, and may the Lord make his face shine upon thee.